Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
Okay, so this evening, I figured there would be plenty of people here who are going to be thinking about success, okay? So whether it's you're coming to the end of your degree, or whether you're just beginning your degree, whether you're just starting in a new job, or you're thinking about how to get to the next stage of a job, actually, success is a very kind of potent thing that we think about a lot. It's a very powerful story in our society, isn't it? You may just be wondering, how am I going to be successful? Whether, again, that's at union, job, maybe even in social life. How do I experience success? And there are lots of indicators for success, aren't there? No, you could just look at your bank account. You could look at the amount of zeros in your bank account. Hopefully there is a number before those zeros in the bank account. But you could look at what's there and you could feel successful. Perhaps you will look at your possessions and feel, okay, yeah, I now have these things. I've been wanting these things for a while. I must now be successful. Perhaps even you'd look at your relationships, like the number of friends that you have, or perhaps the people in your life that you really love, and you think, yes, that makes me successful. Or perhaps it's the things we like to Instagram about, so the amount of travel that you do, the amount of hobbies that you happen to have. Or perhaps even it's that sense of inner happiness and peace that you think, yes, that makes me successful. Maybe even it's your career. You think, yeah, job's going great, I am successful. Or perhaps if you're a bit, you know, you might be thinking, my religion, that brings me success. I do these things well in my religion, therefore I am successful. And actually, success is a narrative of our culture, increasingly so. You just have to look on any kind of media platform, whether TV or social media, and the adverts will tell you what you need to own or do in order to be successful. You own this thing, you do this thing, you are successful. Now, actually, Jesus had a lot to say about success, a lot to say about how what it is to succeed, and he really redefines it. And success in his kingdom looks somewhat different to earthly success. Okay, now actually, if you just for a moment think about the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to look a little bit at a few passages in the Gospel of Mark this evening. Now think about Jesus. He started off his ministry with a bit of a bang. It went well. There were a lot of crowds. Okay, they followed him around. He appeared to them. He had to feed them on numbers of occasions, thousands upon thousands of them. They would flock wherever he went. They were amazed by the things that he said. But Jesus was not dazzled by the numbers. Okay, ultimately, he knew that the crowds would, in fact, leave him. And at the end of his ministry, when he came up to crucifixion, there were no crowds. There were a few Roman soldiers and a group of women watching in the distance. And that was how he ended. And actually, if we think forward even a little bit to when he is resurrected and he gets his disciples together, like we talked about last week, there was only 120 of them. Okay, so Jesus happens to flip success on its heads. But actually, he had a lot to say about things growing, about things advancing, about things being genuinely successful. And Jesus knew that in his kingdom, there would be success, and that would include us. We would get to participate in that. We would be involved in that. We would experience that. So we're going to read a little passage in Mark 4 that you are going to have read before, most likely. In fact, even if you've not been to church before, you're probably going to have heard this story at some point. And it says in Mark 4, verse 1, it says, Again he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered around him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the lands. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, he said, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky grounds, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no roots, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Another seed fell onto good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, so let's just pause there for a moment. Let's just look at this farmer, okay, this guy who is trying to grow stuff. So he's scattering seed. Let's first of all take a few steps back and look at how successful he is. He throws around a lot of seeds, and what success does he get? Only 25%. Okay, he talks about four patches of land and only one of them works. So it's a 25% success rate, or it's a 75% fail rate. And you might think, okay, well, first up, it's not great use of seed. Okay, it probably cost him a bit of money. It seems a little bit wasteful. Perhaps some more concentration in his distribution might have helped him a little bit. It's easy to look at the ground, see some weeds and think, I won't put seed there. Or even a rock and think, I won't put seed on a rock. And so, yet, this is not what happens. It's very wasteful. However, this story ends with ridiculous success. That's how it ends. And the story, this parable, is hiding a secret for us. And parables often do that. They hide something in them that we are meant to understand, or that Jesus wants us to understand and is drawing us into. And so parables really are Jesus' way of explaining his kingdom. They're not really stories about individuals. Okay, they contain individuals. But when we read, we don't think about me or I. We think about the kingdom of God. That's how we read a parable. And they explain a few things. They explain these parables the way that God does things. Okay, they explain also his culture, the way he would like all of us to behave in his kingdom. They also explain what his plan for this kingdom actually is. He also explains that in these parables, this is how we treat each other in the kingdom of God. And also they explain, and this is what we're going to look at this evening, this is how success happens in the kingdom. This is when things go well in a kingdom way. And when we read these parables, they are meant to cause us to ask questions. Okay, we're meant to stop and think and go, I don't quite understand what he's saying there. I think Jesus was trying to confound people a little bit. And as he confounds and as we think, actually that causes us to reflect and think, actually, what was Jesus really saying about God's kingdom? What's really going on here? And in those moments, our hearts are revealed. And that's what Jesus did. So as we look at this parable, we have to think about the ending here, where the seed grows 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And Jesus wanted us to think in that moment, hang on, seeds don't work that way. That's not how it works. If you happen to put a bunch of seed on dirt, and some on the path, and some on rock, and some in weeds, this isn't quite how it's supposed to work. Jesus, what are you trying to say? He's trying to say two things. Two things about the secret for success in his kingdom. And it's very simple. Is there is a generous Jesus, and there is a very powerful seed. What's the secret to success? A generous Jesus and a very powerful seed. So as we think about Christ Church Manchester, as we think about our next academic year, as we think about what we want to do in our city, the things that we want to do beyond our city, as I think about how I want you guys to thrive and succeed in life, and I want all of you to do that in whatever you choose to do and whatever comes your way, I want you to run at these things as hard as you can. I want you to live for the kingdom of God in these things. How then you are going to succeed in that? Well, firstly, generous Jesus. So we look at the sower. And at first glance, we realize this. Who is this sower? Well, it's Jesus, liberally scattering as he walks. And actually, this is a snapshot of the whole Gospel of Mark. It's what, as Mark is writing this, he is telling us the whole gospel in one parable here. This is his whole story. Him walking through Israel, Jesus, as he begins his ministry, really effectively weaving his way through Israel until he gets to Jerusalem at the end to be crucified. And as he goes, he scatters seeds wherever he goes. Wherever it will possibly fall, he scatters. And there is no caution in this. As he walks past a particular group of people, he thinks, I'm not going to throw it to them. I'm going to go on to the next group. I have a bit more confidence that they're going to listen to what I'm going to say. Actually, there is no caution. There is no reticence. There's no holding back. He throws seeds wherever he goes. And they fall wherever they happen to fall. And this is not a targeted strategy. Actually, this is a strategy of generosity. Even the most hostile environments get Jesus. That's important. And sometimes, perhaps, as you look around at your friends or your family or maybe even the place you live and you think, actually, I would love for people here to know about Jesus. And you think, actually, I know what's going to happen if I try and talk to my brother or my friend about Jesus. I know, because we've had this before, and they will just laugh at me. They're very hard. They don't want to know anything about it. Well, even the most hostile environments get Jesus. We generously scatter. And Jesus actually came up against significant opposition. If you were to read the whole Gospel of Mark, I encourage you to do so. It's the shortest one. You can read it very quickly, very fast moving. It's a great reads. But actually, Jesus comes up against significant opposition almost at every step of the way. He comes up against the religious elite of the time, effectively kind of the church leaders of the time. They gave him a very hard time. Then he comes up against the political elites as well. They're not very keen on someone who claims to be the true king. And then he comes up against the crowds, the common folk, of whom many come to him and rush to him, but actually their hearts don't change. We see it, there's none of them left at the end of his ministry. So he comes up against unrepentant crowds as well. And actually, sometimes there is significant opposition from his inner circle, his disciples, even his family. Wherever he goes, there is difficulty. There isn't fertile ground everywhere. Now, there was some. And actually, like we said earlier on, and actually as we talked about last week, Jesus, at the very beginning of Acts, gathered his disciples together after the most incredible ministry journey has ever been seen in all of Christianity, in all of faith probably. And what's he end up with? What's he got left? The greatest leader, the Son of God himself. Well, he's got 120 people. There are more people in CCM, actually. He had 120 in the upper room. There was some fertile ground there. Now, again, in this story, we need to understand a little bit. So when we think of farming, well, first of all, we live in Manchester. We're like, what's a field? I don't even know. Is it plat fields? No, it's not a field. Don't go in there in the evening. That's okay. So you think, okay, farmers, what in Israel, okay, they didn't have huge fields. They didn't have big combine harvesters and other pieces of farming equipment that I don't know what they are. They didn't have that kind of industrial farming. They had a small patch of land that was run by their family, and it was a very limited patch of land. So they had to use every possible inch of that piece of land. So when the people were listening to Jesus tell this parable, they'd be like, yeah, that's like my patch of land. I'd scatter wherever I can because even if there is rocks, there might be some dirt there and I might be able to grow something. So they understood what he was saying. So they got that Jesus was scattering with hope. It's not foolishness. This is a kingdom action. We go with hope, that's what we do. It's very important we do that. If we look at our city, we look at our friendship groups, we look at our workplace, we look at whatever we feel like we're called to do, and we don't look at it with hope, then we're losing before we even begin. At Christ Church Manchester, and we talked a bit about this before the summer, and if you're new here to us and you decide to hang around, which we hope you do, and you become part of us, you'll know and you'll realise that we like to talk about culture and the cultures within our church. And we talk about them and we'll do a sermon series on occasion. Actually, we happen to have written a book, if you'd like to buy the book. I'm just saying. So that there's a culture of hope right there. But we talk about a have-a-go culture, which is very important to us. And part of that, actually, it's very hopeful. We go with hope. Now, if Jesus had been cynical and gone with, this probably isn't going to work, but I'm just chucking seeds around because it probably ain't going to work, then he would have given up very quickly. If the farmer who's only got his one small patch of land and that's all he got went with cynicism, he would give up very quickly. His family would go hungry. But did Jesus in this promise that everything will succeed? Like you go with hope, you cast this seed around, everything will be successful. That's not what he says at all, actually, is it? Actually, he says, look, there's a lot of failure that's going to happen here. There's a lot of things that aren't going to go as you want them to. There's a famous story of a guy called John Wimber, who started the vineyard movement in California, I think in the early 1970s, and it became a worldwide movement of churches. But he started his church just in the outskirts, suburbs of Los Angeles, and he felt like God telling him that you should pray for the sick. And so he read his Bible and saw that this is what you do in your Bible. So he prayed for the sick in his church every Sunday. And he did that for years and nobody was healed. And eventually people were saying, look, man, this is getting embarrassing. You've got to stop doing this. You're praying for people and nothing's happening. It's not a good thing. And then one week, someone was healed. And then actually John Wimber saw many, many people healed on many occasions. But actually his attitude was to scatter generously with hope. He didn't allow cynicism to get into him. He just scattered with hope. And that's what we are as a church. That's what we want to do. We want to scatter generously. We want to do it very hopefully as well, to chuck the kingdom around liberally. Just last week, we started our seventh Sunday meeting, our sixth congregation in Withenshaw. And we do that with hope. We don't do it thinking, oh, we'll put it over there and it's probably not going to work. But we feel like we should try. Actually, we do it with hope. We send a team of people out there and we have great hope for Withenshaw, the place, that people would meet Jesus, that there would be good ground there. So where does success come from? How are we to succeed in his kingdom? Well, firstly, there's a very generous Jesus. And then what? Well, there's then a very powerful seed. Now, there's a strange kind of lie in Christianity that is very easy to fall for and very easy to kind of allow ourselves to believe, that really being a follower of Jesus is what you make of yourself. Okay, and I see people fall for this all the time. And actually, this is what the Pharisees believe. Now, Jesus would come up against the Pharisees quite often, and they believe that they would be able to clean themselves with rituals and good behavior. They would be cleansed before God. So they were kind of self-purifying, even very deeply self-motivating to be the best religious people they could be. And that's one of the great lies of Christianity. And actually, if there's a certain way we could think about this passage, when you think about those different patches of land and say, actually, are you good soil or are you bad soil? What do you need to do to make yourself into good soil? That's what we need to think about this evening. Actually, I'm not entirely sure that's what Jesus meant. There isn't an element of that in there where we have to be honest and real with ourselves, but actually, I'm not sure that's what really Jesus was driving at. Because it doesn't really matter about the soil. If you think about it, if you've got a really brilliant patch of soil, very fertile, got all the nutrients in it that you need to grow stuff, you've got that, but there's no seed in it, it's still just a patch of dirt, isn't it? It is as useful as the one with weeds in. It's if there's nothing put in it, then nothing grows. So we have to think about what this seed is. So we're going to read a little bit more of what Mark wrote. We'll go to Mark 4, verse 10. And it says, and he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" So this is a great parable. And Jesus tells us the parable, then he explains it for us very clearly, which helps us understand lots of other parables. Okay, so let's keep going. How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the words, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away that word that is sown in them. And then the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who they hear the words, immediately receive it with joy, but they have no root in themselves, endure for a while, but when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the words, immediately they fall away. And others are sown among thorns, and these are the ones who hear the words, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke it, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. And then he tells this incredible growth story again of 30-fold, and then 60-fold, and then 100-fold. So as Jesus, this very generous Jesus, as he plants these seeds, as he scatters these seeds, what is this seed? Well, he says it is the word. Okay, now, if you come, depends what sort of church you come from or what your background is, but you might hear Jesus say it's the word and think, oh, it's the Bible. Right, that's what he means. It means the Bible. Actually, that's not what he means at all. He means the good news that he is bringing, the word of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus. And the very beginning of Mark, he says, look, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe this good news. This is his word. And the reason he starts this whole kind of story, this parable in verse 3, he starts it with, look, listen, and then he ends it with, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus is saying, look, this seed is a word that you need to hear. This is my message, my teaching that I want you to hear. It's very small. In fact, it's even hidden in the ground to start with, and there's no immediate response, but then it grows into us. And he's calling us, say, look, I want you to listen. And then he critiques our ability to listen. Do you really listen? Do you take it in, or is it just sat on the surface? He says, they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. They might hear it, but they might not understand it. Who knows someone who doesn't listen to you? You must all know someone. You're talking at them and they're just not listening. I've got children. I experience this kind of daily basis. And actually, if you were to talk to Vicky after, she would say, sometimes I'm talking to Tim and he's like, he's there, but he's not there. You know, if there's football on, or if he's distracted by a bee or something, he's listening, but he's not there. So everybody knows someone. And perhaps you've been in a conversation and you're talking and they're nodding. And then you say, are you listening? And they're like, oh, and suddenly they snap in. And you realize that they may have heard some of the words, but they weren't listening to what you were saying. The word of Jesus, this powerful seed that he scatters liberally, the kingdom of God is here. That's what he's saying. Look, the kingdom of God is here. The way of following God is here. Turn your life around. Repent. Become part of this kingdom. Follow me. And when he plants this seed, when he throws it, when it lands, it has the chance to grow, to turn into something of great significance, to yield a crop which is beyond our imagination, beyond what is reasonable. The seed is very powerful because words are very powerful. Think about it. There are lots of ways that our words can be powerful. So when we vote, which we'll probably do again quite soon, and I would guess we'll probably do it quite soon after that as well. But when we vote, we say yes or no to something, don't we? We vote for our MP, or we vote for another MP, or in a referendum, but we say yes or no, and there is a powerful word. It has implications, doesn't it? When we encourage someone, there is a powerful word there. So there was a guy at Kingsway, which is one of our sites in CCM, which I lead in the morning, and he was preaching. It's the first time he preached for a while. He worked very hard on it, and he has a full-time job and family life, so he worked hard on the evenings and weekends to kind of create this preach so he could teach us this morning, and he did very well. And afterwards, I just explained to him why I thought he did really well, and you could see him thinking, oh, goods, because I was up late last night changing it, Tim. That's what I was doing. So this is encouraging me, and it helped him, and you could just see his kind of shoulders go back and him relax a little bit. That's because a word is powerful, isn't it? A word that somebody speaks to you has great power. And actually, when God spoke, the universe came into being. That's a powerful word there, isn't it? There's history in this. When Jesus spoke, Lazarus, who was his friend, who was dead, came to life again. A word is very powerful. A word actually can settle in the soil that is our hearts and can grow into something if we allow it. So we have a hugely generous Jesus. This picture of him walking his ministry through Israel. And I kind of see that and I picture him walking perhaps some of the streets of Manchester, perhaps walking through our lives, perhaps walking alongside us. And he would scatter seeds liberally around. And he's not scattering something that's mundane. It's his very powerful message to turn your life around, to follow him, to walk in his kingdom. That's the powerful message that he is scattering generously. And yet there is a big problem with it, which Jesus highlights. And he highlights this by talking about the difficult ground. He's saying, look, we live in a world where this is contested. There is immense difficulty in our world. There is opposition to this very powerful, life-changing, universe-changing word. And Mark explains this for us. He kind of, the way he's put this story together helps us to understand it. Because Jesus allows us to see, actually, this is where the difficulty is. And he goes into it, kind of really cuts into where the problem is here. And the problem he illustrates in what the seed lands on. So he says that as he first tells the story, verse 4, he says, some seed fell along the path and the birds came and devoured it. And then he explains that later. He says, okay, what I mean, they're the ones that fall on the path. That's where the word, his powerful message, is sown. And when they hear, Satan immediately comes in and takes the word that is sown to them. Okay, and we might think, oh, that's quite dramatic. I'm not sure how I understand where I see Satan swooping in and stealing stuff. That's an odd way of thinking about things. If we read the whole of Mark's gospel, again, I encourage you to do it, you'll see a theme that Mark comes back to often is that there is evil in the world. that there are things that we don't necessarily understand or can see, but operate as an opposition to God. A losing opposition, as Mark is clear, but an opposition nonetheless. And an opposition that would snatch away the powerful word, the powerful message of Jesus away from people. Vic and I have, over the years, prayed for kind of many of our friends and work colleagues to come and find Jesus. And actually, we've seen some of them come to become part of CCM, give their lives to Jesus, had the joy of seeing one of them baptized, and it's a wonderful thing. But we've also prayed and invited people to church, and some of them have come along, and they hear that message, that word, or we talk about it with them, and it just kind of bounces off them, and the life carries on. And actually, I think Jesus is describing that a little bit, that moment when that happens. So there is opposition in the world. And then there's this second seed. And Jesus says, again, he describes this seed that fell on rocky ground. It didn't have much soil and it sprung up. But since there was no depth of soil, actually, as soon as the sun rose, it was scorched. It had no roots. It withered away. And he explains this for us again, verse 16, jump forward. He explains it. He says, okay, the ones sown on rocky ground, you remember I told you about those? Those ones, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy. And he's kind of saying, this is a big moment. It's an exciting moment. But they have no root in themselves. And they endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution on account of the words come, immediately they fall away. And again, we've seen this happen in people, seen people become believers in Jesus or say, we're going to follow Jesus, and there's big noise and it's a lot of fun and there's great joy. But then very quickly, at the first hint of opposition, or perhaps the first hint of maybe the need for some significant life change, actually they pull away. They start to leave. They disappear. As soon as the sun is up and shining down on them, they don't endure. I've seen it, good friends of mine, people I've known my whole life, actually, who've been believers for a while. Actually, when opposition came to them, when the difficulties of life were on them, they quickly left Jesus. Jesus is very generous. His word is very powerful. But there's a call there. Jesus saying, look, actually, this word needs to go deep into who we are. And then talks about the third seed, okay? This one, and remember, it says it fell among thorns. Thorns grew up, choked it, and it yielded no grain. Incidentally, it's this one. The second seed died and disappeared entirely. This one carried on existing, but it was largely fruitless. It was just kind of with thorns and briar around it. And he says, the ones that are sown among thorns, okay, they hear the words, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, that's one that should be very pertinent for us today, the deceitfulness for riches, the desire for other things enter in and choke the words, and it proves unfruitful. Again, notice it doesn't die, just it is choked. It's proved unfruitful. Weariness and jadedness can kind of rob you a little. Just this week, we were talking with a friend about someone we were concerned for, and they described them as they're just broken and very weary. And this was a believer and someone that I cared for. But the cares of the world had actually worn them down, and they'd allow themselves to become worn. They'd allow the weeds to spring up around them, maybe even the desire a little for just, I'd like to live a slightly more comfortable life. The desire for riches had choked faith within them. And then there is the fourth and final seed, the one that fell on good soil, produced a lot of grain, grew up increasing, yielding this ridiculous growth, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold off just 25% of the grain. And Jesus explains, he says, look, those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the words. Remember this, the word, this very powerful message of Jesus, of kingdom, of following him, and they accept it. And then that bears great fruit within them. The powerful seeds, this incredible word of Jesus, actually can work in us to change us. A very powerful seed from a generous Jesus who wants to scatter liberally, who is not stingy. Actually, if we allow this to get roots into every part of our life, into deep soil, actually, then we get to work with Jesus. And when we work with him, allowing that word to get within us, actually, there is incredible fruit that can come. A fruit beyond like our imagination, really. And he's not saying, look, you'll get one nice bit of grain and it's going well. One bit of grain off one seed, that's what you'd think. Actually, he's saying, no, this is 30 times, actually probably 60 times, actually probably 100 times more than it should be. So just to finish, Jesus wants you to succeed. Okay, let's just put that out there. Sometimes we pick Jesus as the bloke who wants you to not sin. Okay, what does Jesus say? He says, don't do bad stuff. Actually, Jesus says, I want you to succeed. Okay, I want you to do well in my kingdom. And this story, as he tells it, ends with ridiculous, incredible success of the fruit in his kingdom, of allowing this word to sink deep within us. He wants us to succeed in his way of doing things and to be fruitful in that. And actually, we have a part to play in that too. We have a part actually to live like Jesus did and to actually be very generous with the seed that we have, with this powerful message, with this word, in how we choose to live our lives. Actually, it's a great opportunity to be generous with this seed. One of the things I love about the Just Love group is this saying, actually, we do care about social justice. We do care what happens to other people, even people that we're never going to meet, that may live on the other side of the planet. Actually, we do care about them. Well, that's a powerful kingdom seed in those moments, isn't it? We are called to live like Jesus with that hope, to have a go, and to have a go with generosity. Also, there is a call in this to cultivate that good news in our own life, that powerful seed in our own heart, to work with God to allow this good news, this powerful words to, like we said, take root in every part of our lives, to have effects in every part of our lives, to be able to go deep so that actually perhaps there are days when the sun shines too harshly and we begin to wither, but actually we have deep roots which can bring good things to us. And just finally, to succeed in Jesus' kingdom is not normal. Okay, it doesn't look normal. As Jesus describes success, as Jesus describes this is how it's going to work for me, it's unprecedented. He's not hedging his bet saying, look, I think it'll probably go okay. I'm hoping for 1-0 at half time. Actually, it's unprecedented, powerful success.